Welcome back, everybody, to the Spectrum Dad. I am your host, Fred Marvel, and this week I am pleased to be joined by Claire. Claire is an incredible mom and advocate for her two daughters, Olivia and Ella. She is also the woman behind the popular Garly Girls blog and Facebook page. On this episode, we talked about some of the dynamics of having two children on the spectrum, things like how they are like and how they're different. We also trade some stories of sleep struggles we've had with our kids and how lack of sleep can have a negative effect on them. So I won't keep you any longer. Please enjoy my interview with Claire. All right, I am back, and this week I am really excited to be joined by the author of the Garly Girls blog. She's on Instagram too, Claire from Texas. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Now, you have two daughters. How's that going?
It's great. I am constantly busy, and things get wild, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
I know. Yeah, it's funny. We were chatting before we started recording about some of the challenges of summer camp and summer schedules and not being in that school routine.
Summer can definitely be different. We are very fortunate. We homeschool.
Right.
And it gives us the flexibility to keep some semblance of normalcy.
Yeah.
But it's still summer, and there's something in the air this time of year, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there is. But now, do you want to kind of take us back to the beginning of your journey with your girls and everything you've been through with them?
Absolutely.
Sure.
I think the best place to start would be with our youngest, Olivia. Olivia is now 6 years old, and our journey began very early on with Olivia. She was born a few weeks early, mm-hmm. and by the time she was 3 months old, she'd been referred to ECI, which is Early Childhood Intervention here in Texas,
right.
which I ashamedly did not know. I didn't even know this existed, and this was my second child. She had hypotonia, which is low muscle tone, and hypermobility, so her joints are kind of like spaghetti, basically. She had, no head control, nothing. 3 months she was referred, 4 months we started PT, and we just got opened up to this whole new world with Olivia. I'll fast forward you about 12 months, she was diagnosed with sensory processing disorder. She wasn't babbling, she wasn't really engaging with her environment. Mm-hmm. We'd been referred over to the developmental pediatrician at this point. And of course, there's wait lists and all that involved. She, about 18 months, she finally started to weight bear and began to stand up. We did all of her M chats and everything, and we were indicated that she was at high risk for autism, and we're a bit on the fence with the professionals at this point. Maybe it was just because she had such bad hypotonia and global developmental delays, and they were a bit like, well, let's give her a chance, let's see if we can make some progress here.
Right.
And late into 2018, so she was about 2.5, they did her ADOS and her CARS and everything, and she was formally diagnosed with autism at that point. And it's just been a journey with Olivia ever since that.
Yeah, I bet. It sounds like it. And like, going back to what you said about not knowing about early intervention, I mean, we were in the same boat too. It's not something that like you hear about unless it's something that's recommended to you.
It's so true. It's one of the things I really love talking about on our social media pages, and just being honest and sharing our journey in the hopes that passersby and followers get the chance to learn about what other people and other families might be going through.
Yeah. No, I know. And like, that's been my biggest complaint. And if I had the power to change, I absolutely would, because even after our kids are diagnosed, it's, nobody's going to, give us like a list of agencies or numbers or therapists or whatever to call It's kind of like up to us to pick and choose and try and see if this works
Yes.
and see if that works. And
You're kind
let's
of
try
on
speech,
your
let's try
own.
OT, let's try feeding therapy,
Yes, all the therapies, you're sort of thrown in the deep end a little bit, aren't you? And I love the social media community that has evolved. I wish that I had that resource when Olivia was diagnosed. I didn't know where to turn, like you say, with feeding therapy and things. I didn't even know that it existed. I just had this small human who could barely sit in her high chair. She was 18 months old. She was so floppy she couldn't sit up properly, and she struggled to swallow, and she was intolerant to so many different textures, and she still is to this day. And you just think, wow, there's all this world out there of struggles that you don't know about unless you live it or unless somebody is brave enough to share it.
I really love it too, and that's one thing I'm so glad I opened up to, because even though Alex is a little bit older, he's going to be 13 next month, I still learn things. I still, like things that, oh, I didn't know we could ask for this, or I didn't know like we could do that.
Of course,
You're still constantly learning from other people that are willing to put their experiences out there, and
yes, absolutely.
Now Olivia is your youngest, you said?
She's our youngest, yes. So we were going through all of that with her, and we have our oldest, Ella, is 2 years older than Olivia.
Okay.
She's also diagnosed on the autism spectrum, and her diagnosis was totally different and came much later. So talk about being on your toes all the time and the perfect example of autism being a spectrum.
Yes.
I mean, Ella couldn't be more opposite. She was my precocious talker. I mean, she was talking at an incredibly young age. She was talking in sentences before she could walk.
Oh, wow.
Talked like people would say she's like a little professor. It was everything was just so real and literal, like she was just a walking encyclopedia. And she was reading by the time she was three. She is incredibly academically focused and oriented. But she's quite a shy, reserved character, so we really didn't think anything of it. She was just naturally a little anxious, and by that point we were, I hate to admit it, maybe a little overshadowed with Olivia's needs at that point. Ella has quite a colorful medical history. She was diagnosed with adrenal insufficiency, and that led her to have a lot of time off of school, and we attributed some of her social struggles and anxiety perhaps to constantly being unwell and having many hospital stays. So that seemed reasonable, but her anxiety got to really quite an unbearable stage by the time she was six. And we started to see widening social gaps with her peers and her literal tendencies and the way she spoke, just like she'd swallow the encyclopedia. It was all becoming a little bit more like, hey, should we be doing something about this? And eventually, when things just got a little more intolerable with her anxiety, it was suggested to us that maybe we should get her in for some testing. And they did her ADOS, and sure enough, she was firmly placed on the autism spectrum just before she turned 8 years old.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. At what age? Because Alex was, I think it was right before his 10th birthday
Oh,
that he
wow.
was diagnosed. He was at like 3 or 4 years old. He was diagnosed with ADHD and sensory processing disorder. But
Okay.
at the time they said he was too social to be on the spectrum, because same, like he had absolutely no delays when it came to talking or anything like that. He was a very social kid, but as he got older, it's like, okay, well, he's only social with adults and like kids, his kids that are much younger than him.
I wish you could see me nodding right now.
Yes, I know. I mean,
I'm
like
just nodding
like
away.
first and second grade, he knew,
Absolutely every adult at his school, you know,
Yes.
not joking, including like the janitor, the crossing guard, you know, all
Yeah.
that stuff. But like getting him to play with kids his own age was like pulling teeth.
Yeah, it just simply doesn't happen with Alice. She literally cannot connect with her age peers, and even from a young age, gravitated towards the adults. And she sought, still does, and she seeks stimulating, very serious and heavy conversation. She doesn't joke anymore. People literally would just be, "Who's this little professor? Like, she just doesn't chill." And I'm like, "No, she doesn't."
I know. Yeah, we're going through it now. That leads me into like one of the next things I wanted to talk to you about, because we have three boys. Alex is our oldest. He's going to be 13, and then Daniel is 9, and Oliver is about to be 5. So as Daniel has gotten older, the relationship between him and Alex has become a lot more hard for each of them. You know, they each have their own personalities, and you know, they each have their own interest. I mean, Alex will play with Daniel as long as it's something that Alex wants to do. Like, he's not gonna go outside of his realm of things that he likes to do to play with his little brother. So that leads that, you know, they get in a lot of arguments because Alex is rigid and set in his ways, and Daniel is 9 and has his own personality too.
Yes.
So how is it with the girls as they're getting older?
They're truly best friends.
Okay.
They are incredible. They are also both totally different from each
Right.
other, which I think helps. Ella, again, is like Alex, very rigid and very controlling.
Yes.
Olivia doesn't really have the language or the desire to push
Okay.
too hard against it,
Yeah.
so it works really well together. So they can be satisfied playing, but mostly they're just in each other's company. Ella likes to then go off and read books, and Olivia is content entertaining herself, or we'll do things together. We homeschool, so we're constantly rolling around doing some form of activity and things. So
Yeah.
luckily they are really like little besties. They are each other's best advocates.
Okay.
They are fiercely protective over each other, and
Oh, that's
they
nice. That's
look
amazing.
after each other
Yeah.
really, really well. We're very, very fortunate with that.
Nice. I know. It's Alex and our 4-year-old Oliver. I joke that we call them the twins because they're the ones that are
Oh,
always like connected, you know, because
I love that.
Oliver is, you know, more than willing to go along with whatever his big brother, you know, wants to do or, you know, wants to watch on
Yes.
TV and that sort of thing, you know.
Oh,
So
darling.
he's a lot more flexible. So that leads to, you know, they do, at least for the moment, get along, you know,
Long may it
somewhat better.
stay.
I mean, you know, things could always change. But one of the other things that you and I were chatting about earlier today is sleep issues, and you know,
Oh, sleep.
some of the sleep issues that can come along with these diagnoses. You know, we've been through it. I don't know if you want to start with some of your sleep stories, and you know, maybe we can come up with some of the, you know, tricks that we've both used for our kids.
Absolutely. Olivia is my challenging sleeper.
Okay.
She slept for the first 3 months of her life. No joke. I thought I'd hit the jackpot. She was the easiest baby. Ella came out, all systems go, ready
Yeah.
to rumble. She was busy, busy, busy. Olivia was just so chilled, and I was like, "Oh, is this what a newborn baby is supposed to be like? Who knew?" And I had to wake her up to feed her, and it was wonderful. And she got to about 4 months old, and she just quit sleeping,
Yeah.
just cold turkeyed it. And we went through the usual motions: is it reflux? And no, there's no symptoms. And she just didn't want to sleep, and it didn't really change for about the next 4 years, and I just not. She just couldn't sleep.
Right.
And we tried all the things. We have a pretty firm bedtime routine. She loves routines, so she knows what's going on. She enjoys it. We do the calming bath. We used to do the massaging rubs, and we'd have the blackout curtains, the noise machines, the gentle lights, and she just had no desire whatsoever to
sleep. I'm laughing because we did all the same things, but
go ahead. Oh my goodness, you go through all the motions,
don't
you? And they're just laughing at you, just like, nah, come on, this isn't it. And she just couldn't. And it's truly what it was like, is that she couldn't sleep,
right?
Couldn't turn off, couldn't relax.
Now, was this just falling asleep, or is this like through the night?
Through the night.
Okay.
I would try and bring her to bed with me. She wouldn't lay in a bed. She would just sit up, and her dad would try and take over, and she would just scream.
Yeah.
We were advised by therapists to just leave her, and the whole street would be awake. I'm pretty sure she would, but she has we still have a rocking chair in her room because she still wakes up frequently. And now when I grab her up and she has a position on me on the rocking chair, her right thumb goes in, she sucks her thumb, and she'll chill out within about half an hour or so and start to doze off. And that's the only way I can get her to settle now.
I'm cracking up because this is bringing back so many memories. It does get better though. Now that Alex is older, it does. You know, there
that's
is
what
hope.
I like to hear.
We were in the same boat. Alex was never, ever a good sleeper. And you know, his first year, he has a history of a traumatic brain injury. So we were told by the doctors, do not let this kid cry, because he had to have a shunt placed at 5 months old, which was a major surgery.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if he cries, we're getting him, you know, we're going into his room right away and feeding him, rocking him, whatever. The next year, he has asthma. His asthma first started coming on. So asthma is usually acting up in the middle of the night.
Yep.
So, you know, so we were those people driving him around. I remember driving him around as the sun's coming up, because the car was the only thing that would calm him down. At one point, I don't know if you ever watched that old show Super Nanny. We literally were inching our way out the door day, night by night, because he could not fall asleep unless one of us was in the room with him. So it's funny like what we go through, but you know, sleep is so important for these kids, because I feel like with Alex, I don't know how you feel about you guys, but the more tired he is, the more rigid he is, the more sensitive he is to you know, the noises and other things that bother him, you know, you can tell when he does not have a good night's sleep.
You can tell, and it honestly floors me. I don't know how they do it. It baffles me. You think you're inevitably going to have to conk out and take a nap.
Yeah.
You look exhausted, you're acting exhausted, but
right.
Nope, she powers on through.
Oh, I know. We were there a couple years ago. We went on vacation to a hotel, and Alex had taken melatonin when he was young, but you know, eventually we weaned him off of it, and we thought like, oh, you know, we're in the clear, we're good. So we were at a hotel the first night. He didn't fall asleep until like 12 o'clock. You know, looking back, I get it. Like different bed, different pillows, different blankets, different all, you know, all new stuff. And then the second night, he didn't fall asleep until 4 a.m. So like, he's got to, you know, the other boys are out like a light, and like, no, he's got to be tired. I know he's tired. He's got to fall asleep eventually, right? And like,
But
no,
no,
no.
too much stimulation, too many
Yeah.
differences,
Yeah, too
and
much.
we
Yeah.
struggle hugely in hotels as well. It's like you better just buckle in. We know the two of us are going to have a long night.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. Eventually it has gotten much better. You know, we did a successful hotel trip twice this year
Well done.
with no issues. We
Oh,
do bring
wonderful.
the same sound machine that is in his, he still has the sound machine in his room. And
Yep,
you know,
absolutely.
and we bring that thing with us everywhere we go.
Any
So
familiar comforts that you can, right?
absolutely. But yes, no, it does get better. And
Absolutely.
you know, but listen, I could talk to you forever. But I want to thank you for coming on today and giving me a little bit of your time to talk
Thank
about your story and
you.
everything.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely. Now, you do have a blog and you are active on Instagram. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
We are on Instagram and Facebook at Garly Girls.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on today, Claire. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
I really hope you guys enjoyed my chat with Claire. Please don't forget to leave me 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast so it makes it easier for new listeners to find out about the show. And I won't let you guys go without the dad joke of the week. So here we go. If a child refuses to nap, are they guilty of resisting arrest? I'll talk to you guys next week. As always, feel free to hit me up on Instagram at the Spectrum Dad Pod. See ya.